Well, we started this hour with Spirit Talk with Israel Hurtado, and you can go to the guest page and segment host page of goodvibrationsradio.com to connect on over to israelhurtado.com and find out more about his services and the work that he does. And that leads us into our second segment with Dr. Arne Buss. Now, Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. Now, his passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster. In 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Now, Dr. Buss joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the first and third Thursdays of each month at 5:35 p.m. Let's listen to Arne Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Well, thank you, Solazar, and welcome to Speaking of Listening, as Solazar said, here right here on Good Vibrations Radio. I'm your host for this segment, Arne Buss, as Solazar just mentioned. I guess we never get tired of hearing our own name. But speaking of listening is all about ways of improving relationships by listening and communicating from your heart. And you can contact me for information about upcoming events and workshops. My email address is ahbuss, that's A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. That's A-H-B-U-S-S at consciousawareheart.com. And remember that when I say listening, I'm not just talking about hearing what the other person is saying. It's much more than that. It's about really engaging the person in a dialogue. And by a dialogue, I mean getting beneath what the superficial communication is all about. And in fact, last time I talked about the practice that a lot of us do from time to time, and I'm certainly as guilty of it as anybody else, of hearing without listening, or HWAL, I call it, because when you hear without listen, HWAL, it's like your brain and your heart go AWOL. And that doesn't really help move the relationship forward. It doesn't really help what the communication that you're getting is all about. And that leads me to today's topics, which are focusing on what happens when you hear something that you really disagree with. And that's some of the most challenging situations in which tracking and listening from the heart cause you to be in. And so I'll talk a little bit about that, and I want to give a recap of behaviors that block effective communication, because many of the things that come up when you're hearing something with which you disagree just ties into so many of these behaviors that block effective communication. And that helps clarify why allowing your disagreement with what you're hearing to get in the way of a true connection, of a true heart-centered interaction. And the beauty of these tracking skills and listening skills and all the communication skills that I advocate are that regardless of where you start, I mean, you can start with a place of conflict, you can start with a place of disagreement, and you will land in a place of harmony, which is not the same as agreement. You know, so if somebody has one point of view and you have another point of view, maybe you're never going to agree. Maybe there's some things that you're never going to agree on. However, the purpose of relationships is not agreement, but really of harmony. And so I'm going to talk about a few ways that you can use to help overcome what this problem is. So, but I'm going to start with something which actually motivated my talking about it, which is the fact that even though I teach this and I've been working on this and for a long time, I certainly don't bat a thousand. Just in the last week, in a conversation I had with my wife, I recognized that, you know, she was saying something, and isn't really important, but what was critical was that I was disagreeing with what she was saying. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that you should always agree with everything. The difference here is that I basically went unconscious. And what unconscious in this context means is that instead of putting aside my disagreement for the moment, knowing that I could pick it up again, instead of putting that aside and really hearing what her underlying message was about, I allowed my disagreement to really come out. And I basically was giving her responses that it showed that I disagreed, that showed that I didn't agree with what she was saying, and she felt invalidated. She felt very bad after it. And I thought I was being very logical. I thought I was making a lot of sense. My point of view made perfect sense to me, except that it, in that context, it didn't make sense to her. And in hearing that, when she was trying to express what she was expressing, just made the whole thing go south. And it interfered with our connection. It interfered with our heart-centered connection. She felt very bad afterwards about the whole thing, which is a little embarrassing to say. So here I am, this supposed communication expert, and here a conversation really went south. So what happened was I allowed my disagreement to cloud her message. I allowed the disagreement to prevent me from hearing what she was really expressing. And I say this just to bring up the fact that this whole thing is a process, and that even after studying and working on this for a long time, that there's still I still make a lot of mistakes. And in a way, that's kind of part of it. I can use mistakes to grow and to learn, or I can use mistakes to allow relationships to go south. The relationships are really the important thing here. I mean, the biggest application of heart-centered communication, especially listening, is in relationships that are important and lasting. If you're having a conversation with somebody that you'll never see again, and it doesn't go well, then you won't see them again. You know, in a way, it's not a big deal. I'm not saying you shouldn't be heart-centered in your interactions with everybody. It makes a huge difference. So even if you're not going to see this person again, I certainly encourage you to be heart-centered. It's just that the stakes aren't quite so high there. But in a relationship with somebody who is with whom you're going to be interacting a lot, it comes down to, is it more important to be right, or is it more important to foster the relationship? I mean, I've heard this expressed, I think on Dr. Phil or something, or would you rather be right than happy or something like that? And, you know, I agree with what the underlying message of that is, and that's kind of what I'm saying. The idea is not so, what I'm proposing is not so much to be happy, but to be in harmony with the other person, you know, and those are slightly different things. In other words, insisting on being right can disrupt harmony and disrupt the relationship, and which of course can lead to being unhappy. But I think the idea is not so much being happy as it is having that heart-centered relationship. And whenever you have an interaction or a conversation that goes off the rails, then that's just a little bit of something that takes the relationship in a direction that it isn't ideal. It doesn't create that harmonious interaction, that heart-centered connection. So which leads me to talk about the behaviors. Before I do that, again, just to be absolutely clear, like when you feel yourself disagreeing, instead of doing as I did in this particular case, of allowing that to drive what my responses were, choose to put that aside. And I'll talk a little bit more about how I kind of inquired into what was going on with me when I talk about ways to overcome and move beyond this. But I want to first talk about some behaviors that block effective communication. And I've spoken about this before, but I think particularly in the context of a conversation where trying to be right and not agreeing with the message got in the way. And they basically break down into three major categories: fixing, being right or wrong, or better than or less than. So the fixing, the evil three are what I call the pains in the ass, and that stands for advice, suggestions, and solutions. So giving advice, offering suggestions and solutions when you hear somebody expressing these things is an attempt to fix them. And what it's really doing is it's sending the message that, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You know, just I know what's happening, and you're just kind of off. So those were certainly coming into play, if not explicitly, at least implicitly. So by focusing on my disagreement with what was saying, I was essentially suggesting that my wife should be doing something different or looking at it a different way, or saying, well, you know, you should do it the way I do it, and that's the solution for you, or just any kind of advice. Now it's not that there's anything absolutely wrong with any of these. Giving, you know, advice can be a wonderful thing. Suggestions and solutions, if you're trying to solve a problem together, can be very enhancing to the relationship. However, what I'm talking about here is a situation in which you're hearing some angst, some feelings, or just some kind of something going on with the other person, and in that context, being a pain in the ass, offering advice, suggestions, or solutions is a behavior that blocks effective communication. Another one is probing, questioning, interrogating. And I even had a little bit of that, you know, probing and questioning and interrogating. I mean, that's kind of acting like a district attorney, you know. So I have a hostile witness and I'm trying to lead them into contradicting themselves, or maybe it's like I'm interrogating a witness in the police department, and I want to get them to confess. So that just doesn't cut it in this context. Again, a lot of communication experts say, well, you should ask questions, and in certain contexts that's fine. In this context, questions turn out to be a problem. So when you hear when you're in a tracking situation, then avoid asking questions. Teaching, lecturing, using logic, arguing. I mean, I was especially using logic to show how unreasonable my wife was. And, you know, who likes to be told that they're unreasonable? And if the message that the other person is getting is that I think that they're unreasonable or crazy, then what does that do for the relationship? You know, in that moment, that was the meta message that I was sending. It certainly wasn't my intent, because that's not how I see my wife, and yet that's the message that was coming through. So being right or wrong, that's another behavior that blocks. I mean, if you judge or criticize or blame or disagree. And I was doing a lot of that. I mean, I was judging her for doing it differently than I would have wanted, and not being happy with the outcome. I was implicitly criticizing her. Again, I tend to not be explicit in criticisms, but criticisms can be implicit. And I was certainly doing that. That was the message that I was coming across with, and definitely disagreeing. As I said, it was my disagreement with what I was hearing that really was driving my responses. And so being better than or less than, there wasn't any of that, I think. But if you find yourself, you know, ridiculing or shaming or offering sarcasm or joking or withdrawing or having some kind of passive-aggressive response, I mean, that's a block as well. In this particular situation, those were not going on so much. But to one extent or another, all of those behaviors that block effective communication were going on in that one interaction. And I'm confessing my sins, as it were. You know, this is Lent after all. Just to show that how much of this whole process is a journey, and how the biggest challenge to communication often comes with the people with whom we're closest, because that's where the stakes are really the highest, and those are the people with whom we feel we can be ourselves and kind of let things down a little bit and just kind of let it all hang out. Well, you know, in many contexts, letting it all hang out can be a wonderful thing. In a context of a conflict, or if the other person that you're in this relationship with is going through a conflict or experiencing some major negative feelings, then letting it all hang out just doesn't work. I mean, it's not effective. And I'm not when I talk about tracking and ways of communicating, I'm not saying that these are right. What I'm saying is that in my experience, these have proven to be more effective than the alternative. And again, I'm offering you up an instance where I had the alternative. I was not in my heart. I was not tracking. I was not really engaged with my wife. I was more interested in proving myself right and proving her wrong. And it just didn't work for the relationship. It just wasn't effective. So it's not that it's right or wrong to do one or the other. It's just that it doesn't, do you want your relationship to have that heart-centered connection? And if you do, then don't do as I did in this instance. And, excuse me. And train yourself to put aside your opinions until the appropriate time. And the appropriate time in this context would be when the other person feels totally heard and understood. And in this case, my wife, at least in that instance, did not feel heard and understood. And so though in that conversation, there was not a time in which it would have been effective for me to express my point of view. It would have been far better if I had simply practiced what I preached and tracked her. So how do you work on this? How can I learn from this? And how can you learn from a similar situation? So think of a recent time when you had a conversation that just didn't go very well, and maybe you both left with some bad feelings about the whole thing. So think about that. Unless you've been living as a hermit, the chances are that there's been a conversation like that. So how can you work on that? And what I do and what I recommend is by using each of those opportunities as a way, as a learning experience. So it wasn't so much that I screwed up and I blew it and it was easy, so I can get into self-flagellation, but I can use it as a learning experience. So the first step in learning from this is to notice it after the fact. In other words, for me to recognize and take full responsibility for what I failed to do in that situation. Again, not to beat myself up, but to just be kind of more of an objective observer. I observe and I notice that I was not in my heart, that I was not tracking, that I was being, in fact, driven by my disagreement. And, and I say that as an observation, not as a judgment. And then another thing which helps is to replay what was said. Maybe start with the the first time that something kind of seemed to go off the rails, or the first time you heard something that was said that was that had some angst in it. So think of what was said, and then try to think of how you could have tracked it. One thing that can be very helpful is to write it down. Write down what was said, and then write down as many tracking responses as you can think. Another thing you can do is to role play with somebody who's familiar with this method of communication. One thing that I sometimes do is that I will have the person take the role of the other person, the person that they had the disagreement with, and I'll play them, and I will show them how they could have tracked, and then we'll reverse it again, and then we'll play the same role, only they get to try some tracking responses. Another important element to this is to inquire into yourself as to why, why was I unable to hear the other person's message? What was going on inside of me? And that involves going inside and seeing, okay, what was going on here? In this case, it was I had some fear and some. Actually, some old wounds about being wrong and having tried not being able to stand up for myself and not being able to express my point of view, and so that fear was really what was underneath what was happening with my response. And again, the idea is not to judge or beat myself up, but to just notice that and say, okay, there it is, that was happening again. And especially if the conversation was left in a kind of bad place, make an amends to the other person if you feel it's necessary. And the way to make amends is actually in the form of an impact statement, which I've described elsewhere, in which I only use the pronoun I and omit the pronoun you. I might say something to my wife like, I've realized that in the recent conversation together, I was not being fully conscious. I found myself disagreeing with what was being expressed, and that interfered my hearing the message fully. And I very much regret having done that, and will make more of an effort in the future to be more non-judgmental in the conversations. I'm sorry for what happened. Something like that. And again, notice that there was no pronoun you or we or us, anything that included the other person. Making an amends in that context is all about me. And that may sound egotistical, but it's really taking full responsibility for my part in it. Before studying these skills, when I would try to apologize, I would often slip in a little bit of blame at the other person. Well, if you'd been clearer and better in your communication, this wouldn't have happened, or try to slip that in. Absolutely not. That isn't an effective amends. An effective amends is when you take 100% responsibility for your part in it, not for anything that wasn't, but just leave that off the table. So that's how you can repair some of the damage that was done. Again, to start by noticing after the fact, and what I've found is that when I first started practicing this, it would sometimes be hours, maybe even a day or days later, that I would realize, oh my goodness, I didn't do very well in that conversation, and then to kind of replay and think of what was said, because a lot of times. One of the things the issue that came up in that conversation that went south is something that's going to come up again, especially in a relationship that's going to be ongoing. And over time, I found I was able to notice my having been unconscious a shorter and shorter amount of time after the conversation, until some of the time, not all of the time, but at least much of the time, I'm able to recognize it in the moment. And that's really what I'm striving for and what I encourage you to strive for, that in the moment of the conversation, recognize when when you feel the pull of a disagreement or a judgment or a criticism of the other person. And again, just notice that and put it aside and say, okay, why don't you stand over there, and I'll get back to you when this is over. So again, don't try to stuff anything. Just kind of put it aside. There'll be time for it later. So just to recap what I've talked about today is that when in the specific situation, when you disagree with what you're hearing, that can often lead to a conversation going south. And I described a recent situation with my wife in which that happened, and some ways that I could have done a little bit better. We recapped some behaviors that block effective communication. It's always useful to review that. And I gave some suggestions about how to overcome a tendency to have conversations go south. And until next time, you have been listening to, speaking of listening, on Good Vibrations Radio with Sol Azar. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you so much for joining me. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursday at 5:35 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And you can hear repeats of these segments on my website, which is consciousawareheart.com. And you can learn more about my workshops and personal facilitation by emailing me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. I have a Facebook page at AwareHeart and a Twitter feed at Effect5Comm. That's Effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.